The first reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 16 to chapter 6, verse 2, and can be found on page 1160 in the Church Bibles. 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The second reading comes from the Message version, but it's of John chapter 15, verses 4 to 10. Jesus said, live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for that invitation to make ourselves at home in your love. And we pray that you would speak your words of love, your words of invitation and encouragement to us by your Spirit. Open our hearts and minds to receive all that you have for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you will know that we are beginning a series about connections and about all the connections that we can make, that we have already got, that God wants to invite us into. So last time we looked at Paul and how St. Paul, for him, the priority connection was Jesus. Jesus was the foundation, and that was what he wanted to know and for others to know too. So thinking about connections, I wonder if you've got a mobile phone. Do you know 93% of adults in the UK have got a mobile phone? There are 89.9 million mobile subscriptions. There's something like 2,000 million mobile phones worldwide. And if you've ever lost or maybe left your phone at home or forgotten it and thought, you'll know, or you will experience that staying connected is really important, isn't it? How do we manage without mobile phones? But maybe the internet. That's a really important connection, isn't it, too? If you can see that little cartoon there, it's of a man who's lost his internet connection and goes, all I've got left is what's in my head. Do you ever feel lost if you can't get the internet, or if the internet goes down in the middle of something, particularly if you're in the middle of something important? The beauty of connections. That's a picture of all the electronic internet connections at one moment. It's beautiful, isn't it? But how many millions are there? It's really important. So when we're thinking about connecting with God, it's a bit like going on an adventure. Our son Sam, who's a grandson, Sam, who's five, came home from school last week and said to his mum, "Mum, you know there's lava in the earth, don't you?" "Yes, Sam." "Well," he said, I think his friend's called Simon. Anyway, "Simon and me have made a hole in the school garden, and we're going to dig a bit more every single day until we get down to the lava." He's obviously on the brink of an adventure. I don't think he will ever connect with the lava. But he's got the right idea. The connection is important. The connection with God is actually much more simple than Sam digging for lava. Believers are connected. As soon as we turn to Christ, as soon as we ask him, as soon as we invite him, as soon as we respond to him, we have that connection to Christ. And Paul says this, God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. So when we connect with Christ, we're connected to God. God's done the business that's necessary to make it possible. All we have to do is respond. And then, as we know, as we've heard before, we're seated in the heavenly realms. From that moment of connection, we have a place in the heavenly realms alongside Christ. And Paul goes on, well, because you're connected and because you understand how significant that is and how wonderful that is, actually there's a bit more. As we heard in that reading, he's committed to us the message of reconciliation, of connecting, of people being able to connect with God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. Have you ever thought of yourself as an ambassador? An ambassador is really a representative. They represent their country. They represent their ruler. They represent them in the place where they're sent to. You may have seen pictures in the news of the Queen accepting ambassadors from other countries who come and bring their credentials. This is who I am, and I come under this authority. So they hold authority on behalf of their country. So they're affirmed in that position as an ambassador. And Paul is saying, we are kingdom ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. We represent him. We carry on the ministry he did in the place where we live, where we're called to. We have the authority to do what he did. That connection is already there, and we are ambassadors. We represent Christ in the culture we live in. In the Old Testament, Isaiah prayed a prayer, and his prayer was, "Rend the heavens, God, and come down." And we see that fulfilled at Jesus' baptism. Heaven was opened at his baptism, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. So Jesus was the answer to Isaiah's yearning, for the yearning throughout the Old Testament of prophets. Come down, God. Come down. Be with us. And Jesus came to be with us. And at his baptism, heaven was opened. So there is an open heaven above believers. I wonder if we actually believe that, that heaven is open. I wonder how often we go there, to that seat in the heavenly realms that is ours. I wonder how often we actually appropriate all that there is for us. Because we want to live in the truth of what Jesus has done. He has opened heaven. And Jesus was just like us. He was human, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. And it's at that point, full of the Holy Spirit, that his ministry began. And Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself." And that word "nothing" in the Greek means nothing. Jesus could do nothing by himself. That might shock you because you think, well, he did all sorts of things. But he didn't do it on his own. It was his connection to the Father, his obedience, the fact that he resisted temptation and, unlike us, he did not sin, that he did all those things. But he was 100% human like you and me. And you know, if Jesus did all that he did, all that we read of in the New Testament, all those amazing miracles, if he did it as God, I would look and think, wow, that is amazing. But because he did it living as a human, because he came down from heaven and lived on earth like us, he put aside all his godly qualities. He depended upon the Holy Spirit totally. He only did what the Father did. Because he did it as a human, because he did those things like you and me, 100% human, I think I'd like to be able to do that. Wouldn't you? I'd like to make that difference. Well, I think God wants to encourage us in that connection. Because I think it's being unqualified that qualifies us. That's something Bill Johnson said, and I listened to that and I thought about it. It's because I can't do it on my own and I need God to help me that actually I can do it. It's being unqualified that qualified us. It's being willing to say, God, I need you in this situation. God, you need to act, but I want to do what you want me to do. Jesus said, what the Father does, the Son does. He was so closely connected to the Father. He had that intimate relationship with his Father, that relationship of love. And Paul says various times in his letters to Christians, he says this, be imitators of God. Copy him. Ever seen a child trying to copy somebody? Trying to copy a parent? In all sorts of ways. And Paul says, be imitators of God. And then he makes this amazing statement. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. What an amazing thing to say. And as we saw, that was the priority for Paul in his life. There was that relationship that he had with Jesus, that connection that he had. But I wonder if I could ever think of saying, imitate me like I imitate Christ. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? But I think God wants to encourage us to get there. So let's just think of what happened at Jesus' baptism. The dove came upon him in bodily form, such as could be seen. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism. Heaven was opened and he was filled with the Spirit. And the dove, the Holy Spirit, never left Jesus. He was never separated. He never did anything that caused the Holy Spirit to leave him. So just imagine that dove on your shoulder. Would you be constantly aware of it? Would its presence affect our thinking? Would our behaviour affect it? Imagine if we get angry or we're distraught or something. Is that likely to affect the presence of the dove? Might there be times when the dove would leave us? How conscious are we of the Holy Spirit's presence in us? Living and loving like Jesus, which has been up on our walls, but isn't at the moment, but is our mission statement as a church. It's what we believe God has called us to. To live and to love like Jesus. And it's not about striving. It's not about making an effort. It's not about working hard. It's about being people on whom the dove always rests. The dove is always looking for somewhere to land. If you can remember the story of Noah's Ark, the dove went out and came back because there was nowhere to land. And Noah sent the dove out again. And the dove came back with a branch, a twig in its beak, knowing that it had found somewhere to land. And for Noah, that was the sign that the waters were receding. The dove looks for somewhere to land, somewhere that's safe, but anywhere where there is a response. Anywhere where there's somewhere. And Jesus had that ever-present connection. And that's what Jesus prayed for us. What he prays for us. He says, when you're joined with me and I with you, the relationship intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Jesus calls his followers his friends. He says, I'm not calling you servants. You're no longer servants. your friends. Servants carry out duties. Friends live to bless their friends. They live conscious of their friend's presence. It's a relationship. So when we think about Jesus inviting us to join with him, inviting the Holy Spirit to come onto us, to fill us, to be there always, to know his presence, is completely different from being a servant where we have to do something to please him. It's about delighting for his presence, simply for presence's sake. It's there, it's great, always there. It's about developing that, living life connected to Jesus every moment and carrying that presence around with us wherever we are, so that others can see and respond to the presence that's in us. Because we carry around with us what's important. How about carrying around with us that presence, that dove, wherever we go, so much so that others notice it? Moses said to God, when God was going to switch himself off from his disobedient people, Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're lost. Don't take your presence from us. David, when he had sinned, when he'd committed that awful murder and then confessed it to God, said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your presence from me. And God restored him. The presence is vital. So that's God's invitation. As Jesus said in that second reading, make yourselves at home in my love. It's an invitation to relax and just enjoy his presence. Just imagine Jesus giving you that invitation. What might you expect? Peace, maybe. Rest. Joy, kindness, love, complete acceptance, whoever we are, whatever our background is, wherever we are on the journey of life, whatever age we are, whatever stage we are, complete acceptance, complete restoration, getting rid of any regrets. So Jesus was connected by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time of his life. He was connected. That's how he was able to carry out his ministry. And God is calling us, as we know, and as we pray week by week in this place, your kingdom come. Your rule come. That connection comes for other people. And we are called to be God's representatives, his ambassadors, connected to his person, connected to that Holy Spirit, wherever we go. I could go on with lots of P's, but the next one I felt led to was passion. Jesus's passion was for truth. And for God's love to be shown to people. He warred against religious people who said, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do something else. He warred against them. Because he actually said, God's not like that. He wants you to connect with him because he loves you and because he cares about you. Connected to his passion for truth, for God's presence, and for God's power. And also connected to him permanently, never separated, never left alone, always with us in every single situation. So you might like to do this with me as we finish. You might like just to put a hand on your shoulder. Close your eyes if it helps. But maybe you know that there's something in the way of the dove landing. There's something in the way of his Holy Spirit resting on you. And God can actually sort that out. Maybe there are regrets. But God can restore you. Maybe there are some mistakes that you've made that you thought, well, actually, I don't think God would have liked that very much. Well, God is more than ready to forgive you. It's never too late, and it's never too difficult. And God wants to bring that reassurance to us. When Paul reminded the Christians that they were Christ's ambassadors, he went on to say, "Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the time of salvation. Now's the time when God can meet you and enable you to do that." It was a word of reassurance and encouragement. Encouragement to enjoy God's presence. To seek his presence. And to carry that presence everywhere. So that others can recognize that presence of God in us and on us as we carry it round with us. Encourage us to know the love of God, his presence and his power for ourselves, and then to help others know it too. Some words from a prayer that somebody wrote, imagining God speaking to them. And God's saying this, "I'm the Lord of love. I'm the Lord of peace. I'm the one who is moving gently, leading and drawing on into all that is new and good and lovely. All that I have for you is good. All that you need is available now. I'm the Lord who comes gently to you. I'm the Lord who loves you deeply. I went through Gethsemane for you. How can I lead you into death now? No, I am the Lord of life. And I lead you on. I'm with you. Trust me, for I cannot let you go. Father God, thank you that you long to connect with us, for us to have that connection, that relationship of love. To know your presence and your peace everywhere we go, whatever situation. That it's not something that we put on for a Sunday and then take off. But that presence is with us in every moment of our lives, to encourage us, to bless us, to lead us into new and exciting adventures with you. Help us to be more and more aware of your presence, to jealously guard that presence, so that we can truly represent you and live the fullness of life you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.